interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McLean on today's News Talk, TNT.
Now, as we launch into the second hour of today's State of the Nation, I'll remind you, I'm Brian McLean, and I'm here with Timothy Shea. Timothy, great first hour, by the way.
Smoking just as always, and we've got an even better second hour coming ahead.
Absolutely. You know, while we were in the background there, we were talking, you know, about some of our favorite technocrats, some of our favorite globalist ghouls out there. They're like Bond villains. You know, this is a theme that has been recurring over and over again. We often wonder if they are scapegoats, right? Like you think about Klaus Schwab, you think about all the garbage of the terrible plans of the World Economic Forum and in the books that he's written, talking openly, telling us about, you know, how we're going to own nothing and like it and all these things, right? Full on technocrats. Well, it got me thinking about our own technocrats here, which in our country, you know, they kind of prop them up as like more Tony Stark type people than, you know, Goldfinger or Blofeld, which, you know, I've always thought is somewhat laughable. But there's a little spat going on right now, or a little back and forth about Meta and Google, as opposed to Elon Musk's X. So Meta and Google are leading, Elon tweeted this, by the way, you can find this on his feed at X. Meta and Google are leading a nearly $1 million lobbying fight to oppose proposed online child safety bills. These bills aim to enhance protections for children online, including measures to prevent exposure to harmful content. All right. Elon adds, in sharp contrast, X supports child safety bills. So now we all have to prove that, you know, and that sounds right, right? I mean, okay, that makes sense. But what does that actually mean? Does that mean now that all the adults have to prove that they are not children? See, I'm afraid there's some sort of double inverted, route, you know, wedge pathway into digital IDs over this topic.
But bingo. It's for the children.
Right.
Show us your government issued ID for the children.
Exactly. And we know Elon already has a propensity for wanting a picture of your photo ID. I had to give him a picture of my photo ID so that I could upload longer content, have the ability, you know, use the advanced features of Twitter, get the old blue check mark, be a real human. But Timothy, yeah. I have concerns that this is going to parlay into digital ID stuff.
Well, all of in course the name it is. Of children. Yeah, of course it is. And, you know, I've got a great program, Brian, for maintaining the safety of children online. It's called Parenting.
Yeah, that's exactly the one I was thinking of. That's one of my favorite shows. If I have to decide between giving up my freedom on the internet or maybe someone else's kid seeing something on social media that they shouldn't, I'm going to go with me every time because I'm an adult. I'm an American, and I'm not down with that unholy trifecta, as Dustin Stockton, my friend, named it, of digital ID, UBI, and CBDC, which will be the control pillars of a technocratic social credit system. I reject it.
Well, and here's the thing, right? It's it always goes back to the same thing. It's more control. That's all they want, is more and more and more control. And it's virtue signaling. And I don't buy it. And here's why. Because the very same people telling us that we need to submit our government IDs for the children are the same exact ones advocating for genital mutilation of the children.
Yeah. And the gene jabbing therapy experimental shots to the children, which have now made strokes, heart attacks, and myocarditis things that happen to children. These were not things that happened to children in 2020.
Well, I told you a few months ago, I was walking through the other room and the TV was on and a local hospital advert was running. And the ad started, when your child has a heart attack. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, excuse
me? When
my
child has a heart attack and it was, you want to go to Kraus because Kraus has the best pediatric cardiac facility in the state. It's like, what? How did we get here? Well, we know how we got here.
Disgusting. That's how we got here. Tyranny. That's how we got here. Authoritarianism. That's how we got here. Eugenics, globalism, and technocracy. That's how we got here. And that's why we're talking about it here at TNT. And if you're enjoying it and you think we're doing a good job, then please let us know. Why not leave us a like or a positive review? Or if it's me, you can even throw me a jab if you want. Or a comment on Facebook, X, IG, Gab, or Gitter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk TNT.
Russia, gas prices, COVID mandates.
It just doesn't seem like anybody's doing anything about it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's not every day you see a trial for a law that was never broken, but we've been reporting on it for months, and it's, well, it's hit a benchmark today, winding down in a way. Yes, that's right. New York versus Trump, and Trump touts defense team has quote-unquote won the Manhattan case, and he calls on Merchan to dismiss. I've got a Trump clip here. Go ahead and roll it. Let's watch it.
Assistant Bragg has no authority to enforce election law, and we did nothing wrong. Ted Cruz has said it's over 200 years. Never once has a president of the United States been indicted over no crime. No crime. Molly Hemingway, very smart woman. This is a show trial. There is no actual crime or evidence. Molly Hemingway, respected by everybody, by the way. Here's a very liberal gentleman, but a very talented and critically acclaimed director, Oliver Stone. I haven't heard his name mentioned in a while. It's a new form of warfare. It's called lawfare, and that's what they're using against Trump. That's Oliver Stone, who I think is a super liberal, but even he's talking. I must tell you, I've never had such liberal, or as they say nowadays, progressive support. Mark Levin, you're living through what is not only the worst presidency.
All right. Gene Valentino joins us now, the host of the Grassroots Truthcast and the founder of GeneValentino.com. Gene, what do you think, man? We're in a new phase here now.
We have crossed the line. You and I have talked about the line being crossed some time ago. I think this, even for those who weren't too hot on Trump, you cannot sit here, watch that, and tell me that justice is properly being applied to Donald Trump. Is every individual innocent until proven guilty? Yes. Well, then if the evidence is substantiated and against the crime, then we can go forward with a case. In this case, where's the crime and where's the evidence? And I can't understand how Alvin Bragg and the DA on this case think they're going to get away. They're not going to get away with some consequence against them, if not by their own peers in the Bar Association, then by the public in the years they're going to spend in private society after they've been fired. And yet that's only if they aren't found for a crime themselves that puts them in jail. Boy, I'll tell you what, guys, just before the break, I heard you were talking about something related to vaccinations, and you talked to Brian about the gene jab. Oh, my words. This is a jab from Gino, right? This is Gino's jab. There is going to be a complete meltdown of the Democrat Party that allowed Mr. Biden to have a revolving door in his White House with these DAs and prosecutors, these state attorneys who were perpetuating a strategy that went back months before Donald Trump spent these last 20 some odd days in a courtroom. This is an absolute shame on so many levels, not to mention the cost to the citizens who are paying for this ridiculous, bogus lawfare, as you described, against a man that, you know, there's certain things in the I'm not a lawyer, but there's certain obvious things that need to exist. Like, what clearly is the charge against him? Still not defined. What clearly is the evidence against him? Can't find it. Oh, you got some evidence from a bogus felon who's a liar, who served time in jail, lost his bar license in his attempt to move up the ladder under the strengths of Donald Trump. This Mr. Michael Cohen now finds himself disgraced in the same way. Gentlemen, the Democrat Party and the things they have espoused is about to see its own meltdown. Whether Trump debates, whether there's the necessary debates prior to an election, whether anything else comes out, we are going to see the meltdown of the Democrat Party, and rightfully so, gentlemen. This is an outrage. This has done nothing but improve Donald Trump's campaign war chest and secure the number of voters. I think we're in for a tsunami landslide like we have never seen in American history.
From your lips to God's ears, I am still concerned, Gene, because they remain unconcerned. I think the fix is in. I think that they've got all the pieces in place to rig this election, just like they rigged 2020, 2022, 2018, for that matter. But in America, there's a 0% chance that Donald Trump gets convicted. Zero. But given that this is New York, there's a 40% chance. But it doesn't matter. Even if he is, it's going to be overturned on appeal. And here's why. Judge Merchan allowed testimony that was not only irrelevant, but salacious and defamatory. And he did not allow expert testimony. The only testimony that mattered was the testimony of the expert on federal election law. And Judge Merchan so restricted the scope of that potential testimony that the defense decided it wasn't even worth putting him on, and they rested. And here's what this case boils down to. After all the dipsy doodles and chains, and this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and that was a violation of election law, which, of course, none of those things are true. Even assuming arguendo that everything the prosecution said is correct, there's still no crime, and here's why. The payment was made within a time frame before the 26th election, when the reporting requirement wasn't until 30 days after the election. So there's no way there would have been a public disclosure of the payment, even if it had gone through the federal election system, which it shouldn't have, even according to the Federal Election Commission. So this entire case has just been a massive circle jerk. And I'm concerned, Gene, that they're not just going to melt down, but that they're going to play their Trump card and that they are going to try to JFK DJT. I've been worried about this for more than a year.
They could try. And I don't think it'll matter because, Timothy, I think, as we've said a few times, look, the bigger picture, your chronology on the issues and all of the facts related to these Trump cases is absolutely correct. But I take a step back and I look and say, will the American people tolerate this? I fear a national serious reaction, an unprecedented reaction by the American public prior to the election that will evidence itself if this thing results in a guilty verdict for Donald Trump. I actually think on point that the jury, unlike ever before, to add to your chronology, has to wait now to Tuesday to convene. Right. And here they are, unsequestered. And as they're going home to family and friends this weekend, and they're going to be around the barbecue, and the phone's going to ring, and who's talking to who, and hey, listen, on that case, I hope you move your decision, so forth and so forth. You're going to have a jury with two lawyers on it, by the way. Do you think, as much as they may have contempt for Donald Trump, do you think the two lawyers are going to sit back and not take notice to the lack of due process on so many levels? But here's my greater concern. We have to fix the ills of our constitutional republic through constitutional amendments that are now in need. We've talked about it in the past. I remind you and the folks again about Gene's second Bill of Rights. We have the first Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the Constitution. Gene's second Bill of Rights is on my website, www.genevalentino.com. Folks, please check it out. I know Timothy and Brian have, but one of those amendments, those 11 amendments, additional amendments to the Constitution. And I preface this by saying, I want less government, not more government. But we need a supreme magistrate system that is elected, our people elected by you and me, the citizens. No appointments from elected officials or any other officials. These are elected by you and me, supreme magistrates. And I pray that we not have more government. We need less government. But the supreme magistrate doesn't wait to November like we have to in an election to fix the problem. The supreme magistrate recognizes the wrongdoing today and moves immediately to throw the case out, to incarcerate people like a Fannie Willis, like Letitia James, like the rest of them, the Jack Smith. These people orchestrated a criminal wrong against a duly elected president that had the constitutional right to run. The same wrongdoing that they did to Donald Trump, they're doing to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Timothy. Yes. So their strategy to push, as you suggested, to push RFK in to fill the void still doesn't fix the problem in our Constitution, our constitutional republic. The problem of this kind of bad behavior can resurface in the future. I want a special magistrate to impose sanctions on an elected official at the highest level, state level, and local level. His agents, his assigns, his staff on that reports directly to him,
yeah.
And anyone in the agencies of government.
Yeah, the whole chain. We need to see the whole chain. We need to see what government agencies were involved. We need to see the emails here. There needs to be a deep, deep audit on this whole clown show, because it's making a mockery of our country.
Real quick, in this case right here, right now.
Yeah, finish this up, Gene. We're just about out of time.
Okay, special magistrate could have come in and taken out Mershon for contributing to Trump, to Biden.
There you go. A perfect example right there. Very simple, very sensical. You can find everything Gene over at GeneValentino.com. And of course, where all good podcasts are streamed, the Grassroots Truthcast. Thank you so much, Gene. We'll look forward to your next visit here at State of the Nation on today's News Talk, TNT.
TNT's Lembit Open.
The crash has also created a rare moment of unity from around the world, where people have expressed and world leaders have expressed their condolences. But in the run-up to this discovery as well, because it did take many hours to find these bodies and the crash site, which led to a burnt-out helicopter with no prospect of survival, in the run-up to that discovery, there was an offer of help from many different countries, including the European Union and others who may not traditionally be supportive of Iran. In my view, it does show that once in a while, at least, we do see the humanity coming out here. Iranians are people too, and these people leave behind loved ones, relatives, friends, and so forth. From the political point of view, we'll see how that develops. We'll be talking about that as well.
Limit. OPEC. And today's News Talk, TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody. and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. The conversation continues.
I don't believe it, and I think that's a terrible position that I am in, that I don't trust my government.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
There's an old expression in farming, don't eat your seed corn. But if you're looking to destroy the United States of America's economic independence, that's exactly what you do. After draining half the nation's strategic petroleum reserve in 2022 to temporarily lower gas prices ahead of the midterm elections, the Biden administration's Department of Energy has now announced not only the sale of the Northeast gasoline supply reserve to lower gas prices between Memorial Day and Independence Day, but its complete liquidation. And the bulletin was issued by the DOE's Office of Cybersecurity, Energy Security, and Emergency Response. Joining us now to discuss is the Executive Director of the Climate Science Coalition of America, Steve Gorham. His latest book is Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. You can find him on X at Steve Gorham. That's Gorham, G-O-R-E-H-A-M. Steve, welcome back to State of the Nation.
Hi, Tim and Brian. Great to join you again.
So in what universe is eliminating the Northeast gasoline supply reserve enhancing our country's energy security, Steve?
Yeah, it's really remarkable. And the petroleum reserve as well. Of course, President Biden is trying to balance a couple different things. Gasoline prices impact consumers, and he's coming up on an election. But at the same time, he's trying to push the green policies. We are the world's energy powerhouse. It's been remarkable in the last 20 years. We've become the biggest producer, the biggest exporter of petroleum products, crude oil, and natural gas. But now the president wants to push electric vehicles and hydrogen fuel and all sorts of other things on which we would have to rely on China for all the special metals and the other things that would be needed.
So Steve,
it's a head scratcher.
It really is a head scratcher. I'm trying to understand it. You know, when I first started at TNT, I remember in my first month or so, some of the stories I were covering were about the strategic oil reserves and the way that it was being manipulated. So is this basically just flooding the market, basically used like taking our strategic oil reserves, which have specific purposes in most Americans' mind, and using them to drive down the cost of fuel, so that it's just pandering to voters, I guess, is what I'm saying, selling us out, selling our military out to pander to voters.
Well, I think so. I think they did that early in his administration, and now the petroleum reserve is way down. But oil prices have gone up, so so it costs a lot to try and restore it. So they're really not making much progress on restoring the reserve.
Well, I don't know that they want to make any progress, and it's actually worse than that, Brian. Not only are they flooding the market to increase supply to lower prices, but they're completely eliminating the Northeast gasoline supply reserve. So the bid has gone out. And once it's sold, that's going to be it. There's going to be no more Northeast gasoline supply reserve, which this is a direct threat on the American economy. And we're going to discuss this a little bit further right after this incoming headline from today's News Talk, TNT.
Hey, guys, great news.
News Radio.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The U.S. Department of Energy's National Nuclear Security Administration confirmed conducting a subcritical experiment at the Nevada National Security Site, aimed at gathering data on nuclear warhead materials without triggering a fissile chain reaction. France has expressed support for the International Criminal Court and its independence, following the ICC's announcement of seeking arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other Israeli figures.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk. TNT Radio. TNT Radio.
Steve, the expression is never attribute to malice that which can be adequately explained by sheer incompetence. And we've seen nothing other than incompetence from the people in the Biden administration. But they've also exhibited profound and extreme maliciousness toward our nation, our Constitution, our way of life. If you wanted to destroy America, what would you do differently than, for example, what the Biden energy policy has been?
Yeah, it is remarkable. But the ideology of climatism is powerful. And not only is it used to do certain things like get rid of oil and gas, get rid of gasoline cars, but I think most of the people in the administration believe it. It's unfortunate. They believe if we all drive electric vehicles, we can stop the oceans from rising, which is really a modern superstition. Oceans, for example, have risen for the last 20,000 years.
Yeah.
You can go to a site at NASA and see that NASA estimates that oceans have risen 120 meters or 390 feet. So these policies that they're trying to put into place and they say will stop climate change or global warming just are another indication of kind of a high school level of understanding, I think.
Yeah, and it also makes me wonder, you know, even with only a high school level of understanding, it's still not very difficult to be brought up to speed, you know. Like we could talk, you know, very high level, simple things like the cost of these electronic vehicles, their capability, you know, their capability to move from point A to point B in adverse conditions, you know, like, I don't know, like when it's cold. And then the environmental impact, there is a massive environmental impact. There's a human rights impact when it comes to the mining of the materials. And then there's a China dependency. I mean, I just rattled off four or five things right there. I feel like if I sat down in front of Biden and Harris, maybe even they could understand that if I had you by my side, you know, to fill in the blanks and give me the stats and figures. Are they just totally protected from people like that? I think that gets back to what Timothy's alluding to here, is it feels like this is on purpose.
Yeah, well, it's always hard to tell. There really is not a lot of logic when you put all this together. As you say, the average electric vehicle uses six times the special metals of a gasoline car. And that's copper and cobalt, graphite, nickel, a lot of things. And those are mined in the developing nations, often using child labor or forced labor. Then it goes to China, who's the biggest processor of special metals in the world, rare earths and other sorts of things, so that they can put into batteries for electric vehicles. And then everybody can drive a Tesla here. So there are a lot of
problems with it,
as you
point
out.
You know, Brian, your question presupposes, Brian. I'm sorry, Andrew, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Brian, your question presupposes an open mind, a willingness to listen, a willingness to learn on the part of Stumblebum Joe and Camel Toe. The hubris is outrageous. These people think they're so much smarter and they think they know so much better than the people that actually have the correct information. It's stupefying.
They are doubling down on all of this. It's pretty amazing. And we're about to enter a electricity shortage in this nation for about a decade, driven by the AI revolution and these green policies. And the utility managers right now are going, how do we get in this situation? But I don't think the Biden administration even realizes that's about to happen.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. We got about a minute left. Steve, tell us, let's talk about Green Breakdown a little bit. I always want to help promote people like yourself, you know, because this stuff is knowable. It should be common knowledge. It should be dinner table talk. Tell us a little bit about Green Breakdown before we have to let you go. And I'll remind you that you can follow Steve at stevegoram.com. That's G-O-R-E-H-A-M. And of course, at Steve Gorham on X. Steve, over to you for any final thoughts and any words about, you know, how your book plays into this topic.
Yeah, it's a complete discussion of the proposed energy transition. Home appliances, power plants, EVs, heavy industry, heavy transportation, and points out why it's going to break down and people are going to demand a return to low-cost energy. The other thing is that this book and my other book is filled with great fun sidebars, like the Florida paper that said global warming was causing couples to cheat.
Yeah.
So you now have an excuse. Honey, the climate made me do it. But
well, that gets to the point of it being an alternate faith in a religion instead of actual science, doesn't it, Steve?
Yep, it does.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us. Again, as Brian said, you can follow Steve's work at stevegoram.com on X, at Steve Gorham. And get his latest books available on Amazon and all the great booksellers. Steve, thanks so much. Can't wait to have you back on State of the Nation.
Thank you, guys.
We've got more State of the Nation right after this from Today's News Talk, TNT.
While serving in Afghanistan, I was hit by sniper fire. The fighting was so intense, the medevac chopper was barely able to land. In the hospital, I was given a 5% chance to live. It's a good thing math wasn't my best subject. Today, I visit classrooms and share my story. I talk to kids about dealing with life's struggles. I tell them, with a little help and a lot of work, that you can overcome any challenge.
DAV helps veterans like Adam get the benefits they've earned. They help more than 1 million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
I know that some struggles are big and some are small, but they're all struggles, and you have to learn to get through them. With support from DAV, more veterans like me can live their best life. And as a new father, I have one more reason to keep on keeping on. My victory is being there for the next generation.
Adam Alexander, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
The Kids Cancer Project funds vital research into childhood cancers. And you fund the Kids Cancer Project. Funding research means giving children back their lives. And who knows what kids with cancer could grow up to do? The Kids Cancer Project. Survival starts with science. Donate now.
The Kids Cancer Project.
Critically analyzing national affairs. This is State of the Nation with Timothy Shea and Brian McClain on today's News Talk.
TNT.
TNT.
Now, this weekend, you may have noticed, if you have a Google phone of any flavor, that your mobile IS and many apps have been updated to include Google's most recent version, their launch of their AI product called Gemini. And if you've been following State of the Nation, you know that we've been keenly watching this and other similar rollouts for the last year of, you know, ChatGPT, Microsoft Copilot, the aforementioned Gemini, and many other interesting AI tools that we've been looking at, tools, wares, services. And we've flagged up, this is a technical term, a metric F-ton of red flags to go with the metric F-ton of potential. But why are they being pushed so hard? Why are they being installed for free on our apps, devices, and operating systems? Joining us now is the CEO, rejoining us now, the CEO of Liberation Technology Services, a company at the forefront of the private cloud hosting industry and groundbreaking cybersecurity solutions and the pioneer of liquid cooled edge data centers. Wow, and those are very cool, let me tell you. So Andrew Riddow, welcome back to State of the Nation. So what do you think? Why has this clearly very expensive effort of developing and widely deploying AI tools being turned into a facet of a contemporary like computing ubiquity, and what's the actual cost to us users?
Well, it's very simple. That is, they now control the ability to completely censor one side of the narrative. Now, with this AI, they can control what information we receive, not just on our search engine, but also in our email, as we were talking just before the show, with our documents. They have integrated Gemini, mind you, without our consent or ability to opt out. You know, they've integrated this platform into every single aspect of their platform. And now, you know, as we're running up to the 2024 election, where misinformation is going to be a critical component of this, because the left will continue to say everything that doesn't help them is misinformation. They've now got this AI tool that's going to be able to really double down, triple down, quadruple down their capabilities and you know, shutting out stories like the Hunter Biden laptop story that we saw back just before the 2020 election.
So are you saying that, I don't know, say the Hunter Biden 2.0 laptop is out there somewhere right now and it leaks, and I get an email from I was about to say you, but I don't think this would happen on your system. Say I get an email from a friend on Google, Gmail, and they say, hey, have you seen this article? Maybe you want to talk about this on your show. Or, hey, maybe here's someone that you should interview about, you know, this topic. Are you saying that I might not even ever see that email that my friend or listener or viewer emailed me?
Oh, yeah. If you're using Gmail or any of their other related services, it'll just disappear into the black hole of the internet. You know, you won't have the ability to even dig through your spam to find this. And, you know, that's a very scary matter of fact that we're having to face. It is a reality. It is here and it is here now.
Or worst case scenario, you use Google Calendar and you put on your calendar that it's your 80th birthday party at a friend's home in Palm Beach, and you show up at the party and guess who else shows up? The Arizona State Police to indict you, to serve your indictment, and like they did on Rudy Giuliani last week.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of this scary position, because a few months ago, we saw the inherent bias of Gemini, right? You know, when you type in founding fathers and it sends you back results that are the furthest thing from our actual founding fathers, you know that there's a bias in there, right? The Black Viking, Black Pope, you know, it's not even trying to say, well, here's a generic looking Pope. No, it's completely whitewashing history. And so then they slap some lipstick on a page, relaunch it, and then, you know, shove it across the entire Google ecosystem. And that's because, you know, they want to control it. They want this tool to be in play by the 2024 election. And let me tell you, this is not a platform that you can just fix in a week or two. This takes years to build. So for them to say, oh, we fixed all the bugs, not really. It's still there, and it's still something that will impact the results that we continue to see.
Is there an opt out? Can a user X has Google phone Y, do they have a means to go into their settings and say, you know, Gemini, I'm just going to turn you off?
From what I've seen, there is no opt out. Plus, you think about it, they would make it about 40 separate opt outs that you have to take probably hours of your time to go in and remove it from your email, remove it from your Microsoft workplace, remove it from Google search. You know, they are going to make it as hard as possible. And the worst part is we had no consent to you know, decide for ourselves if we wanted to use this tool.
And really it goes back to the founding of the company, right? And the founding motto of Google was do no evil. Well, if you're the one that determines what's good and what's evil, it's pretty easy not to do evil when you can just reclassify everything as good.
Right. And before we know it, they're going to completely reshape history, rewrite everything. You know, we've seen this time and time before throughout history, just with different mediums. But, you know, it's very obvious because the Democratic Party has empowered Google. We've heard it from conservative leadership, from Donald Trump. We know that under the next Republican administration, there's going to be a reckoning day for those in Silicon Valley that have decided to impede on our First Amendment rights. And so I think they're fighting like hell to keep the Democrats and Joe Biden in power.
That's an interesting concept. Now, I rattled off that some of the big names in AI. Is there, do you have any sense that there's, because, you know, we see articles about this, we see people come out and say stuff about it. They just shuttered actually over at OpenAI, one of the boards that they had looking at, you know, safety and some of these things. Like, they just basically said,
their
no, we're not doing this anymore.
Their long-term risk team just removed. They're really asking for us to end up in a Terminator movie, but in real life.
Yeah. So are any of these companies, are you, when you look at them and you look at the way they talk to each other, are any of them, I don't know what word to use, benevolent? Is there any sort of America First version of this? Should we be looking at Grok or something as a, you know, a flame of liberty of some sort that, you know, doesn't want to see us go full Skynet? Or are we just looking at, you know, Betamax versus VHS here? It's all going to serve the same purpose.
Well, I think at the end of the day, it's up to us, the consumer. If enough people start pushing back on the widespread, you know, without consent integration into AI, and we can start making our voices heard through our wallets, you know, I think there's the ability for us to kind of push back on some of these bigger providers, at least long enough to try to get some legislation or competitors into the marketplace. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we really have to take a look at this and understand why it's being done in the way that it is at the time that it is. And also realize that, you know, AI is a tool. It is not necessarily an evil thing. It's not sentient yet. So we need to figure out how to properly utilize it. But realizing, you know, Gemini being integrated into to Google search and everything like that, we need to now be aware that, you know, Google search already had a bias. Google Gmail already had a bias. Now it's going to be significantly worse than before.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the whole idea of getting rid of a long-term risk board, I mean, to me, that is a just yet another massive flag, red flag. And we've got a red brick road of red flags here at this point. I mean, every single piece of science fiction that we've seen practically in all three of our lifetimes has been about this. They're currently making batches of films about this. I can go to streaming services right now and pick from probably four dozen movies that have been made in the last 8 years about this kind of thing going completely wrong. I mean, you can't even watch a contemporary Star Trek show without this being completely built in. And of course they graft it to the bot, right? Like they take this sort of, you know, golem, you know, a Boston Dynamic Atlas, for example, and then you apply a mindset like this that we're seeing the algorithms generate in some of the ChatGPT-4 previews. And, you know, you could literally sit two robots down and watch them do two people's jobs, pretty much send each other emails, write TPS reports, you know, whatever.
Well, it's scary because you think about it. ChatGPT was launched just about a year ago at this point. And to look at the strides that it's made in just a 12-month time, it's terrifying. You know, where will we be in the next 6 or 12 months without, you know, someone with a little bit of sanity coming into play and saying, hey, do we really want to go 100% right away? You know, I used to think that Sam Altman had a little bit of moral direction, but, you know, in his recent actions, you got to wonder, has the wealth and the fame kind of impacted him to make some questionable decisions? And I think, you know, the firing of that team is maybe just a precursor to, you know, something that may be just around the corner. You know, they wouldn't have been fired unless they were pushing back on something that they deemed a real risk.
Well, the good news is that there is no AI yet, right? AI does not yet exist. What we have are AI tools. And I got a text message from a friend of mine who had gotten a random result from ChatGPT. And he said, this is the result I got. And he said, I'm starting to think that this only spits out what someone programmed it to spit out. And I said, you're exactly right. There is no AI. There's no machine self-sentience yet. These are AI tools, and that's exactly it. They're programmed to spit out certain results within certain parameters. So tell us what Liberation's AI is like. What are your tools doing, Andrew?
So we have intentionally limited any sort of AI that we, you know, have integrated. You know, we do things that, you know, you can ask a question and it'll try to give you a best answer. Our Liberation campaign, which is our, you know, MailChimp alternative, it will actually go out and look at what the Google AI is flagging as spam and blocking emails from getting through. And it'll give you recommendations about how to get around with that. But a key critical factor about that, you have to opt in and ask it and prompt it to provide that type of feedback. You know, we really try to set strong boundaries so that, you know, it isn't something that is just forced upon our customers.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, and I look at Liberation sort of like, you know, I'm going to put a random number on it, so don't be offended, but I look at it like a fourth generation, fifth generation, you know, like an advanced set of our contemporary tools, whereas what we're seeing here from the AI, you know, factories is very impressive, yes, but it's brand new. They're telling us we're four generations in before we're a year in, and telling us to trust them, basically, like, we're putting this on your systems, it's gonna be great, right? I did a terrible Trump, but it doesn't feel that way. You know what I mean? I would much rather have the tried and true methods that Liberation uses, and the innovations there also. You have your own innovations. You told us a little bit about that last time. So why should people, you know, gravitate to the first generation of a very dubious technology that is at our, you know, our cultural core, the spark that sets off a dystopia or an apocalypse sometime, versus something like you're doing that's freedom oriented, that's user oriented, and using tried and true methodologies as well as innovation?
Yeah, so there's a kind of theme in technology. You never subscribe to the latest and greatest because it's always filled with problems. It's always filled with bugs. You always work, you know, one generation back or so. And so that's how we really look at this and try to operate from a position of facts and a position of stability. We know what we're doing does not infringe on individuals' rights, on individual liberties. It is a tool, right? And a tool is only as good as those that wield it. And so we are trying to position ourselves as essentially using ethical AI tools to help our customers better themselves. But between you and I think we all can see the writing on the wall and the direction that this is going. By the time President Trump and President Biden go to debate, they'll probably have a deep fake of Joe Biden putting together actual coherent sentences. And that's really
what I think it's going to be a hologram. Yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to project a hologram up there on stage.
You know, and I think that, you know, you look at the way that this election is going, the lawfare, the policies and everything else, they're doomed. The only way that they could imagine they have a shot in winning this election is through technology and being completely biased in favoring them. And so that's why, you know, we're really working hard to help people out. And, you know, if you don't mind, you know, me sharing what we were talking about before, You know, please. You had stopped. We have a mutual connection. You had stopped receiving emails from her for months.
Six months.
Yeah, she started using our platform and bang, it's in your inbox. And she was using Google beforehand. So, I mean, the facts speak for themselves. And, you know, we just try to show proven results. You know, we have a bunch of free speech organizations, large conservative organizations, small businesses, large businesses. Everyone's seeing the same types of results because there's a technology that is working for them instead of fighting them.
Right. And you're the type of search algorithms that you're using, they're not like predating on your user, right? Like looking to target them for this or that, or looking to understand their bias. Like that's all extra stuff that doesn't need to be there, right?
Yeah. You know, we're not Google. We're not Google Incognito, where we tell you we're not doing something, but in reality, we are. You know, it's one of those things where we see a strange kind of faction in repetition in technology where they're getting caught red-handed over and over and over again. But, you know, only time will tell if they'll actually change their ways.
So I'm not going to get a Temu ad on my phone after I mentioned to someone in the room next to me that I'm looking for a hibachi grill. I'm not going to see a Temu ad for hibachi grills. Where do I sign up? How can I switch over to Liberation? What do I have to do?
LiberationTech.com, LiberationTEK.com. All of our services are right there, and you can get up and going in less than 5 minutes.
All right. And we recommend that you do that because we need to protect ourselves. We need to learn to protect ourselves from predatory technology, predatory media. That's why we're always so glad to have you here, Andrew. Again, check out the website if you want to get liberated, liberationtechtek.com. Andrew Ridout, thank you so much for joining us here at State of the Nation. Let's do it again real soon.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for sticking with us here during State of the Nation. And you're definitely going to want to stick around for the Jason Burmish show coming up next. I got to go on Jason's show last night. I had a great time. If you missed that, find it in the episodes link up there at today's news talk. TNTradio.live is our website. For Timothy, myself, and today's news talk, peace out. Have a great day. This is TNT.